Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzchak Yatshalom and I'm honored to be studying the second half of Sefer Shemot with you. We are now in Parashat Vayakel and Perek Lamed Chet. Today we have a relatively short piece to do, and that is the first eight psukim in Perek Lamed Chet, which describes the construction of the Mizbach HaOlah, and then one other critical thing which we will devote most of our time to. Subsequent to hearing about Bezalel's fashioning of the Aron, the Kaporet and Kruvim, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and then Mizbach HaZahav, which, as we noted in the previous podcast, was placed now where it is physically in the Kodesh, meaning it was done in that sequence as opposed to the presentation of the commands in which Mizbach HaKtoret was put much, much later. And now we move outside of the Mishkan, meaning we're describing Kelim that will go outside of the Mishkan, to the Mizbach HaOlah, the outside Mizbeach on which the Korban Olah. Other Korban will be offered also, but because the first Korban to be brought on it and the daily Korban to be brought on it are the Korban Olah Tatamid, it's called Mizbach HaOlah. Again, made out of acacia wood. We've already discussed both the dimensions and the emphasis on it being squared. And 3 amot high. And again, as mentioned earlier, that in the Mikdash, in Yerushalayim, the Mizbeach was significantly larger than that. The emphasis seemed to be on, it was both wider and higher. However, the emphasis seemed to be on its being squared, which it was, according to Mishnah and Masachet Midot, 32 amot squared, significantly bigger. Vayalas karnotav al arba pinotav, mimenu hayu karnotav. So he made the capstones on the four corners, and the capstones came from the wood itself. And he now plated it all in bronze, not in gold. We're outside of the Mikdash. Now we go to bronze, which really looks like dull gold. So all of the vessels used for the Mizbeach, which includes the pots, the cleaners, the ayim, which in which you sort of like a dustbin, the mizrakot, which are the chalices in which the blood is received, and the mizlagot, which are big forks which are used to turn the meat over, and the machtot, which are used for sweeping up the ashes, kol kelav asa nechoshet, all made out of bronze. Everything's bronze on the outer mizbeach. Vayas la mizbeach michbar maase reshet nechoshet. So now, as he was commanded in Parshat Truma, he made for the Mizbeach a rim around it, which was made out of bronze netting, bronze pieces that are netted together. Underneath the karkov, below that, all the way down to halfway down. So it's made at the halfway point of the Mizbeach. The Karkov is like the Sovev, the step up in which he would get up to the Mizbeach. And then he put four rings on the four edges on this Michbar, on this rim. Batim labadim, and they are housing four Badim, again, as we saw with the Aron, with the Shulchan, with the Mizbeach HaZahav, and now with the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, or Mizbeach HaOlah. And again, the staves are made out of acacia wood, and this time, as opposed to zahav, they are plated in bronze. And he put the badim into the rings, as he did with the aron, as he did with the shulchan, but we did not hear about him doing that with the mizbach hazahav. And he put it on the sides of the Mizbeach in order to carry it with them, them being the staves. Nevuv luchot asa'oto. He made them hollow boards. Now, what's hollow boards? We're not talking about the staves. We're now talking about the Mizbeach itself. Meaning, we have boards that are made at the width and height, 5 by 5 by 3, but it's not filled in. It's empty. And now, when you carry this frame, then they would to the next spot, they would get a bunch of dirt, put the dirt together, and put the frame over it, so it was really a Mizbach Adama. And as we discussed in Parshat Truma, this Mizbeach really is a little problematic without adding that in, because the two kinds of Mizbachot that are described at the end of Parshat Yitro are either a stone Mizbeach, made out of unhewn stones, or an earthen Mizbeach. And this is a wood Mizbeach, covered with bronze. And so, indeed, the text emphasizes that the wood was not solid, but was rather a frame. And under it would go the earth, wherever they would stop and camp, which makes it eminently portable, because dirt is everywhere. Now, the last pasuk of this podcast takes us into a different direction, because we've now moved outside of the Kodesh, we've described the Mizbeach, and in between the Mizbeach and the Ohel Moed, we have the Kior. And we're commanded about the Kior at the beginning of Parshat Ki Tisa. Vayas et ha-Kior nechoshet, veit kano nechoshet. And so he made the laver out of bronze, and the base out of bronze. This last phrase is very confusing. It's not mentioned at all in Parshat Ki Tisa when we describe how to make the Kior and the Kan. And it is the one line in all of Parshat Vayikra after the opening piece about Shabbat that attracts the most attention among Rishonim. The famous Midrash about these Marot HaTzovot, who are the Tzovot? Women who would stand in front of Ohel Moed. And they had Marot. Marot, Rashi, following the Midrash Tanchuma, says the Marot are mirrors. And these are mirrors that these women would use. And these are mirrors that the women used, the beautiful Midrash, in Mitzrayim, in order to attract their husbands and get them stimulated. The husbands, in the famous Midrashic take about the Tapuach, did not want to engage in intimacy because they didn't want to have more kids because the kids were all being killed. And the women of greater faith, understanding Hashem was going to redeem them, would go out into the fields and seduce them and have relations and then have those children under the apple tree and the whole famous Midrash. And they would use the mirrors to create that seduction. So they brought the mirrors that had a bronze backing to Moshe. They were made out of bronze to Moshe to use for this. And Moshe didn't want them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I love them because these mirrors represent the great faith that these women had, and they should be the ones that are used for it. That's Midrash. There are several difficulties in this pasuk, and the Midrash does not really address all of them. One of them is to say that Marot means mirrors. Doesn't necessarily mean mirrors. We don't have any word like it in Tanakh, anything to measure it with. Also, who are the Tzovot? Why are these women Tzovot? Tzovot means they either lined up in an army formation or lined up in some other formation. It's a word that we're familiar with from two other contexts. One is at the beginning of Bamidbar, when we hear about the Levim, called Abali Tzvot Savab, Avodah Bo'amoeh, they come in a particular formation to do their work. Or, of course, as an army, which is what we hear when they march, V'al Tzva'ot. And that's the army that's marching through the Midbar. So what are these women doing that are Tzavot? They're just hanging out there and waiting? It's a very strange thing. And it's a phrase that shows up only one other time in all of Tanakh, and that is in the story of Chofni Ufinchas. In Shmuel Aleph Perek Bet, the women who are Tzavot, Petach or Moed, and there it's equally confusing. It's unclear what these women are doing there. But we're going to focus on this text here. So there's several Rishonim, including the Bechor Shor, who suggest that Marot HaTzavot does not mean mirrors, but rather that that they would put it in a place where it could be seen. In other words, the basin and the laver are outside of the Mikdash, so it was put somewhere that was seen. So the bet here is not what was used, but where it was placed. He put the Kior and the Kan in a place that the people who were at Tzavot could see. But then he doubles back to the famous Midrash, the rest of the Midrash in Tanchuma that Rashi quotes, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to use these mirrors, that's in the Rashi's version, the Midrash's version, and use them for the Kior from where water will be drawn for the Sota ceremony. Now remember, the Kior was chiefly used for Rechitzat or Kiddush Adayim for Raglayim of the Kohanim every day. But here the idea is that on occasion, if ever, it would be used to fill up the water for the sota ceremony. And the purpose of the sota ceremony is in order to demonstrate to the husband that the wife is not guilty and to restore domestic tranquility. So the beautiful full circle here is these are mirrors in the Midrash. These are mirrors that were used to bring a husband and wife together. And then the same bronze was used to create the kior from the water we brought that would bring husbands and wives together. The Choshor rejects the idea of them being mirrors, but still doubles back to that by saying these are going to be placed in a spot where the women can see it, and then and they will also see the sota ceremony, as we learn in the first parak of Masechet Sota, that all the women are obligated to come and see the sota being degraded as a deterrent against their own behavior. So it would be sort of a similar sort of thing, but that again doesn't answer the tzavu. And Petach Ohel Moed is itself a very difficult phrase, because Petach Ohel Moed means in front of Ohel Moed. Now we'd be tempted to think that the problem, of course, is how can you take materials to construct, to build something based on behavior in front of a place that hasn't been built yet, that you're building. And Ohel Moed hasn't been constructed yet. It's only going to be put up at the end of this process. And so the easy temptation would be to say that Ohel Moed here is referring to Moshe's tent that we read about in Parshat Ki Tisa, that he took and put outside of the camp, and that's where he would meet with Hashem, and other people would come there to seek guidance from Hashem and to get halacha from Moshe. But that Ohel Moed doesn't have a din of Petach Ohel Moed. Petach Ohel Moed is a halachic location which is defined throughout Sefer Vayikra as the place of certain korbanot, etc. And that doesn't exist here yet. So how do we have this? And it raises a further question that we'll get to in Sefer Vayikra. When we talk about the at the end of Tzav, the Kiddush HaKohanim, the Kohanim are supposed to sit Petach Ohel Moed for those 7 days of Miluim. Now, according to most Rishonim, the 7 days of Miluim are the last 7 days of Adar, because Yom HaShmini, the day of dedication, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Ben Ezra has it being the 8th of Nisan, but most have it being the 1st of Nisan. If that's the case, how can they sit Petach Ohel Moed when Ohel Moed isn't even up yet? So there you could say it was the location that was being put up and then taken down every day according to the Midrash. But there is, I think, another consideration to take into account. I'd like to suggest that as being what's going on here with these tzovaot. Let's think about what's happening during the entire winter while the Mikdash is being built. Remember, Moshe, in the end of the summer, or at some point in the summer, comes down and tells people all these commands, and that's what we have being in Vayakel. But it's only finally finished and constructed and put up in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What's happening during that whole interim? The answer is people are working. And some of the people who are working are men, and some of the people who are working are women, the ones who are spinning, etc. Now, where did they do all of this? So we perhaps don't even think about a location issue. But you have to remember that at the foot of Har Sinai, there's already a sanctified location. Moshe had already built a Mizbeach, which means that there's already a spot that's been devoted to Avodat Hashem. And it's a spot that's referenced later in the Torah, when in Bamidbar Chafchet, the Torah refers to the Orat Tamid as Asuya Bahar Sinai. It was already an Avodah that was done in Har Sinai. So it's recognized as a place of Avodah. So I'd like to suggest that the location where the Ohel Moed was going to first be erected at the foot of Har Sinai was already designated and already identified. And the Mishkan was sitting there, and the Kreshim are sitting there, and everything is being there. And that's where people came to do their work. They didn't do work in their own tent. They did the work on the work site. And the women who came to spin and to weave and everything else came and sat in formation, Petach Ohel Moed. And so these women themselves had their own marot, and that was what they donated that was used for the kior and kano. So Petach Ohel Moed here doesn't mean in front of the already constructed Ohel Moed, but at the halachic location designated as Petach Ohel Moed, which is as yet in potential, but because of their commitment to doing this work, they also earned the right to have their marot, whether we read it as the Midrash, being the mirrors, or as B'chor Shor and others, as being, and the Chizkuri follows suit, as being a location from which it could be seen, but it was something that they donated that would then go to the Kior from which the Kohanim would wash their hands and their legs, and from which the water for the Sotah ceremony would be taken. We'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the last podcast in Vayakhel tomorrow. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.